La scelta di Thank you. In Jesus' most precious name, we have. Father, we thank you because of your faithfulness, be glorified. Thank you for every privilege that we have seen comes from you. Thank you for every grace that we see that comes from you. Thank you for every help that we see that comes from you. Be magnified, be glorified. Thank you. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Welcome everyone tonight to this meeting. Let me quickly start by welcoming those of us who are here already and joined in earlier today. God bless you. I see some persons that have not been around for some time, or a couple of that we have missed for a couple of weeks, because I notice your absence. I'm seeing Bro Gabriel Zama, and also I've not seen Andy for some time. And also Mr. UT, the initials, we've not seen you also for some time, but it's good to have you back. Glory to God. It's good to have you around today with us. Thank God for this privilege. Thank you, Lord. Yesterday was something else. It was just something else. Those of us that were not around will get the audios within the week that is coming, which begins tomorrow. For those of us that were around, of course, I already know the itching in our hearts to lay hold on those audios to listen again. And it's something that you should hear and hear and hear and hear and hear again. Because some of those concepts are things that it stretches your mind to be able to wrap over it. That is, to wrap your mind over it, your mind will have to stretch. That's the objective of the Word of God. Let me say that again. Some of the things that are said here, for your mind to be to wrap around it, it has to stretch. And so when you listen to it over and over again and engage your mind to wrap around it, to grasp it. So as in that exercise of trying to grasp it, you notice that your mind stretches. And that's one of the things that we had somebody here say, and people continue to say, that my thinking has shifted. I just interface at a whole new level. A whole new level. It's not normal. It's a gift of God. The gift of God in a man's life touches every aspect of his body, every aspect of his humanity. From his spirit, his soul, his mind, his body. That's why you see that the gifts of God can bring a change in the bodies of people through healings. True healings. That's why I see that the gift of God can make a lump disappear. It's physical, but it's yet an operation of the Spirit. So it's an exercise of the spirit. When you stretch your mind over concepts that are alien to your normal course of reasoning, you do a mental exercise. And by doing that, you shift in level of thinking. One of the scriptures we looked at here is the prophecy of Isaiah, where God says, and we saw that in Revelations. Please, if you are not around for the second day of Revelations, where we thought about thoughts, the foundation of revolution, you need to just acquire that audio. It's free. It's on the platform. We read from the book of Isaiah chapter 55, where God said that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my thoughts are higher. So we saw there that there are high thoughts, and thoughts are in heights, in levels. So at times when somebody speaks at all, when information comes at a level higher than where you can relate, it means you need to be uplifted. You need to have that encounter of come up hither. God said, as the heavens. Now, you know the heavens are infinite. Because when they use the heavens in the Greek, in the Hebrew word, they use the word shamayim. It talks about the universe, the sky. Now, look at what the cosmic background radiation effect or discovery has brought to our understanding that the universe continually stretches. And even God himself has said through scripture that I'm the God that stretches the heavens. So if they had the thought of the heavens, his thought is like the distance between heaven and earth. By implication, his thought is continually stretching from our own. Do you get that? His thinking is still going further. So we have a God to catch up with. And it's an infinite pursuit. An infinite pursuit. We have a God to catch up with. It's an infinite pursuit. Because science has already proven that very clear equations describe it, observable phenomena of the physical universe have confirmed it. People have received Nobel Prize on that research. That the universe is stretching further. It's stretching. And God is saying that my thought is as far. So there's no constant in that level. So you have the wisdom to catch up with. It's still stretching. It's increasing the distance. You continue to progress. This is so important because what you understand will determine the exploits you will produce. You can already see that from the scripture we have been taking off from, God is saying that through wisdom and understanding, you have gained exploits in the world of finance. There is no accidental result. If it's an accident, you can't reproduce it again. When you don't have understanding, there's no guarantee you can make it happen again at all. Samson understood the grace of God on his life. So when the power left him, he said in his heart that I will go again and shake myself as often, and then I will come under the light of strength. He knew how to operate his gift. I was with a group of people and I just chipped a phrase. And I told them, tell me what you think about that thing. I wanted them to interpret explanation. And then one of them got up to speak and say, I said, don't think. Tell me what this is. And then they spoke at a level. I said, I'm not impressed. I said, I expect you to use prophecy to explain to me what I ask you. I said, fetch out of scripture. And really, if they had fetched out of scripture, they will start reading from Joel 2. They will see the armies of God in Joel chapter 2. And then I told them, I say, you mean you can't yield to the gift of prophecy and just give wisdom according to this life? And then I used the opportunity to instruct them that you should know how to align with your gift so that you know how to walk in it. Smith Wigglesworth is renowned for saying, if God doesn't move me, I will move him. It's not like he's bamboozling God or anything. He can't do that. What he's trying to say that if I'm not sensing the spirit, I know how I will make the spirit sense me. I know how to operate in this gift. I know how to walk in miracles and exploits. So I said, I expect you to speak through prophecy so that even from what you will say, I will still hear God's word. Some person's gifts are locked up in an isolated space, in a world of its own. They only pray until they fall into it. And, oh, that gift has come. There are gifts that operate like that at the will of God, but there are gifts that you should be at par with. There should be a room temperature gift. And it's not like room temperature means it's cold. It's that you have so heated your spirit to that level that your energy level at default is high. You are charged at default. You know that. In 2017, Father, I'll give you praise. 2015, that was when I met this individual. Because that was when I moved into the premises where they were living around. And there was a time that time I noticed that they will pray and pray and pray and pray for long, then they'll start praying in tongues. They'll pray and pray and pray for long, they'll start praying in tongues. So I met a man, I said, you pray long before you enter tongues. They say, yes. Say they have to get. I say, you can start praying in tongues immediately you start praying. I say, really? I say, yeah, you don't have to. I say, I have to pray and then get to that plane. I say, make that plane default. and they began, and it changed their life. Initially, that the gift of praying other tongues are now pouring that is available to every member of the body. But this individual was waiting to get to a place until the anointing comes. I said, no, you can start it now. You can begin your, you can start praying from 1 second ago and pray in tongues till 2 hours later and end it and go and come to rest or do whatever you want to do. You don't have to wait till the spirit lives in you. But if you sustain it at a state, you can work with it. What I'm saying is, you can be supernatural, natural. Supernatural, natural. Supernatural, natural. And that is part of the foundational goals we began to approach. We say, Lord, all this shaking and you can be super. The gifts of divine wisdom. One time we were doing something and a gift operated, and he had to take this time to be like, ah, these things that are going on, it's not even a normal thing. And I said, Father, thank you for this gift, because it's just operating normal until you just think that's the way it is with everybody. We're working on something and then a word came. Before you say Jack, knowing just came all of a sudden from in your spirit. And I said, this is not a normal operation. This kind of activity can't happen like that. It's the gift of God. What am I charging us on to? If you have a gift from God, it should be something that is available, and you should be able to enter into it. Jesus healed people on the streets, as in he raised the dead at room temperature. He's just walking, he see a corpse passing, he say, arise. You see a blind man, he say, receive your sight. There was no intercessory call to say, man, we have to start a very massive intercession now. There's a dead corpse here. The gifts of healings. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, that and it came to pass that while he was ministering, there were prophets and teachers, and the power of God was present to heal them. The activity of the Holy Spirit in your life should be present. 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 Anytime, anywhere. What am I trying to get across to us? Live spiritual. Live it. Don't just be spiritual. Live spiritual. At the initial time, it will cost you some things to tune up to that level where you can sustain dimensions by default. But once you have sustained it, it will just come. By the time you have been able to pay all the price and make it your life, you'll just be flowing effortlessly. You'll be flowing in revelation by default. And it's not like default, but it's just that you have been tuned up to a level. Tuned up to a level. Become very precise. If we have all attained to that level in our various giftings, certain things would have adjusted in our life. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. So all of these things are possible. They are possible. They are just possible. Everybody has a deposit from God. Everyone. Not just the gift of speaking in tongues. There are other gifts inside of you. Some of them are not normal. I told us a story of a young man. We went to speak in a meeting and we just turned the place to an ionization. You know when they say like an ion charged environment, and left the place in that charged state. And when those charged operations go on, it's the atmosphere becomes charged in the sense that people impartations just happen without human. It just happens without order, according to God's order. And then he found us after it was a weekend, I believe. He found us later on and came and was begging us, "What is it? I can't hear with my ears. What is it?" He was in the music department, and it was, they were all a music group we went to speak with. "What's happening? Music is always playing in my ears. Sounds. I have written songs and written songs. I can't even concentrate in lectures. The music continues to play. Please pray for it to stop." And I said, "No, that's not a deposit. You ask for it to stop. That's a deposit you learn how to work with by default. Then you know how to tune the frequency back and forth. Or you know how to listen to two things at the same time. It's something you fine-tune your spirit to. You grow in it. If you continue like that, you fellowship direct. The angels playing those music will start coming to you physically. You start seeing them direct. Gifts in God. I don't know, but that was a gift. You know, people think, okay, because they are the nine gifts of the Spirit, the five gifts of the food. Wait, there are gifts in Christ Jesus that you have never believed exist. There is the gift of, let's not open that, but that was a gift he received. It was the operation of another kind of sensing in Christ. Imagine somebody with that kind of gift, and then he releases two songs. It's just enough. It will rock his generation for Christ, because the world and it will be heaven on earth every time that music goes on, because it came from heaven. It comes with the environment and the anointing of heaven. There are even expressions of God's gift, deposit of God's gift that finds expression in man's tongue. Have you not heard that there are gifted people that play musical instruments? Of course they are, but musical instruments are what we see physically. Are they not gifted people that are authors of books? Look at somebody like Francis Rivers, writing fictional stories that change people's lives. Some of them have a combination of fiction and true life experiences, but blended in so much insight. But they are writing stuff. Let me tell you, the gifts of God don't, you say, okay, the kingdom of God encompasses the church. Your gifts may not have a church or church function kind of operation, but nevertheless, it has a kingdom function that it can bring glory to God. May not have the gifts of preaching and, you know, listening, praise and all that kind of thing, but nevertheless, your gift can bring praise and glory to God. That is the objective of every gift. So whether in God's, whether in the church or in the world, in quotes, it will glorify the name of God through Christ our Lord. We continue to say it and continue to say it. The design of the Holy Spirit, the design of Christ is that through his deposits in your life, you will come fulfill your purpose. That's why we continually say, God's gift in a man's life suffices him. That gift is his grace. The gift, because grace itself is grace, his gifts. I am what I am by the gift of God, by the grace of God. Paul's life was given to him as a gift. If we are all paying attention, some of us have received gifts on this platform. I know some of you are here. The life of that gift is what you are hearing, because every gift needs to be grown, developed until fruition. It needs to be grown. Some of you, there are seeds of God's deposit that have come into you at different levels and dimensions of operation. You grow into operating with them. The gifts of God are actual. They are not fanciful, fairy tale like things. The gifts of God, they are actual. Father, we give you praise. We bless your holy name, because you are God and there is none like you. Labrata kusadra baba shetra baba shandra baba. Thank you, mighty Lord. In Jesus' most precious name. So what are we saying tonight? Give heed to that gift of Christ in you. Glory to God. Once again, we welcome everyone to tonight. Like we said yesterday, we are in the midst of very interesting things. Let me tell you, we are teaching you to a direction. We are teaching you to a place. These are not just random gatherings and random speaking. When we have continually said this, the word of God said, unveil to them mysteries and unseal to them mysteries in Christ so that they can see themselves. Everything we say here is what pertains to you. We are not informing you. We are impacting you with God's grace so that you can be transformed and make progress. So these are not gatherings unto information. They are gatherings unto impartation for the sake of change. Metamorpho, as the Greek would put it, transformation. So we are teaching into a direction. Every doctrine that proceeds from this place, it has a purpose to be accomplished. It's not a random assemblage of speeches. That's why I see we are not saying everything. And sometimes we want to say, we see that we bring it, we say, okay, let's continue in this direction. It has keeps a purpose. Please, everything we say to you, gather it together and let it inform your discretion. Let it instruct your perception. Let it refine your senses. Everything we say here has a purpose. Now we are teaching you on series on having depth of riches. It has a purpose. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, mighty God, once again. As we enter into your word tonight, speak with us in light as you always have. And let us understand the things that you say again to us. I pray for everyone here according to that prayer that we prayed 2016 for a congregation of God. Let the spirit of wisdom and revelation light upon everyone here to the acknowledgement and the apprehension and the comprehension of these mysteries of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray according to the prayer of the Apostle Paul, your servant, to the church in Ephesians, that God should give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge so that they might know. I ask that the same gift of God and the operation of your spirit will come upon these individuals and light in their head like a flame of the menorah and illuminate their eyes and illuminate the sight before them that they will see, comprehend, and they will have understanding and insight to your word. Let the oil that keeps the light burning continually be filled as the fellowship in your presence, and let visions abound in their hearts. To the praise and glory of your name, mighty God, in Jesus' most precious name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We have an hour and 4 minutes left. All right. Let's begin from our takeoff point again, as we always have. Ezekiel chapter 28, from verse 1 to verse 5. The scripture says that the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Thar, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas. Yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of a god. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel or Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself. You have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. You have accumulated wealth. by your great wisdom intrigue, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Now, you remember yesterday we looked at that great rich wisdom intrigue. Please get the audio of yesterday. It was something else. When it arrives, you get it. Today, I want to begin. Also, let me say this quickly. God has already blown a whistle on this guy, like we always introduce this topic or introduce every evening that is in line with this. God blew a wisdom on him and said that it is wisdom and understanding that have set you on a platform where you can gain riches and gather gold and silver. We have said that trading is the gateway to increase of riches, of wealth. And not just any trading, but we say the wisdom, God said it is because of his great wisdom in trading. And we said that great wisdom is in trading is necessary, hence you will trade at a loss. And we looked at the story of Esau, who traded his destiny at a loss, and Jacob, who traded something as mundane as a plate of porridge to secure an eternal riches in Christ. So Jacob had such great wisdom in that he recognized what was valuable. He said to him, "Give me your birthright." And it is a birthright that places one in position to be the heir of the covenant. So he understood what was valuable, but that kind of great wisdom was deceptive. But it was at the foolishness of Esau and his insensitivity that he traded at a loss and lost eternal riches for what would not even satisfy him beyond a couple of hours. So, but God said concerning this guy, it is true great wisdom in trading. You have acquired and accumulated riches. So what we have attempted to do throughout the period of these teachings, we have been looking into this insight and these mysteries we have been considering ever since after the weekend that we talked about revolutions, is that we are seeing certain wisdoms that has to do with trade finance. Because again, God said wisdom and there is understanding you gain. So there are understandings that need to be in place for wisdom, for riches to be gained. There is a wisdom to be in place in trading for riches to be increased. So it's not just you gain riches alone. There's wisdom and understanding. But not just wisdom and understanding. There's what is understood. The subject matter, the core, the essence of what was understood. So we always take off from this point so that you can really see why we are looking at that. And we've taken a good time to really explain a lot of things over the course of this teaching. We can't go back again because it will take up our time. So if you are not available, you can get that. But you can already see some things we are considering because some person's eyes were opening already. Like some of the things when we talked about wealth and money and its function in economic activity. And when we said to some persons that your money is not wealth, and we told them that if your money is wealth, your government would have solved the problem of poverty by printing more money and sharing a billion to everybody. But it doesn't address the issue of poverty. It will only worsen it. So it breaks some persons off the grid as actually considering what can be considered as actual wealth. Those are basic understandings that need to be in place, because people must be brought to understand that the adoption of money system in assisting in the process of trading was an invention that was adopted. It wasn't an eternal arrangement or an eternal institution that has been with time. It was an invention. And if it's an invention, it can still be modified. And glory to God, in 2009 or so, money has been modified. And we are going to look at that as God permits, because we are going to take a look at some other scope of things. But we are trying to break you off a rigid grid where you can see flexibility that money has not always been. We said to us over last weekend and yesterday that wealth anywhere is wealth everywhere. If you take a piece of gold in Nigeria, you can sell it in United Arab Emirates. You can sell it in China. You can sell it in Malaysia. But if you carry your money in Naira and take it to China, they will accept it in the marketplace. Because money anywhere is not wealth everywhere. But wealth anywhere is wealth everywhere. Those are some of the things we have said, so that to be as a liberator from a thinking that has held you down like gravity, so that you can just be let go. Glory to God. So all of these things are understanding that we want you to receive, so that you will know why God had to come down from heaven and speak to his prophet. Like we said yesterday, Ezekiel couldn't have known this because Ezekiel was in Babylon. He was in part of the captivity in Babylon. But God was revealing to him things about the king of Tyre and his operation. So this was God's wisdom and revelation, giving Ezekiel access to such insight via prophetic channels. Do we believe? Do we understand? So there are certain understanding and wisdom that this guy had in place that was making him gain riches. And please get yesterday. We showed you what this guy was doing, and it's unbelievable things. Some persons saw here, were here, they were literally at the what? My God. This guy was wealthy. He was balanced. By the end of yesterday, we saw that there was no reason for him to even buy anything, because he had what they call riches. He had everything we could call riches, except life that came as a gift. You know that. That's why God is telling him, I'll take that one from you. If you read further, you see where God tell him, when the people, I'll give you helplessly to people. He said, when they want to take your life, will you still tell them that you are a God? He had so much, he was so balanced, that he said he was a God. See, I sit in the midst of the seas, I'm a God. But you can already see why he was tending into that, to that direction, because of he was balanced. You get yesterday, you understand what we mean. Today I want to look at what I've captioned profit, gain, and economic theories. Yes, it's game, not gain. Profit, gain, G-A-M-E, and economic theories. I doubt if we'll be able to finish round this up tonight, but I want to set it rolling as it's going to prepare us for next weekend. Profit, gain, and economic theories. These are wisdoms from scriptures, and these are things that just be in step. Let the mysteries of Christ shine in your heart, flow inside of you. While we said we were walking, it just came. Economic gains, and you will see what is meant. Now we established yesterday by God's light that for you to trade, you must have wealth. That you can't bring an empty hand to the table, because trading is exchange of wealth. So you can't come to the trade market with an empty table. We saw that yesterday, that wealth is necessary for increase of wealth. You need wealth to increase wealth. We pointed out yesterday why the master will always give a talent to the servants. He gave them a talent, say, you take one, you take this number, you take that number. Please get yesterday, very important. And we showed you that everybody is a trader, buying and selling. Even if you work in an office, you are selling your skill and your expertise. Your company is subscribing to it by paying you for it. If you know how to trade very well, you will increase riches in that direction. So we said yesterday, to the glory of God, Father, we thank you, we give you praise, that you need wealth to increase wealth. Which is why the man who gave his servant talents didn't leave them at ground zero. He left them with a deposit from where to begin. And through that, we said that poverty is not when a man has nothing. It's when he has nothing to offer to obtain what he requires or needs. Which is why you see that when the widow cried out to the prophet Elisha, he said, help, your servant, the prophet, are taking a loan and they are coming to take his sons to be bondmen and slaves. He asked the woman, what have you? She said, nothing except. She said she had nothing, but I have something. And then from that, the prophet gave her, through prophetic mystery, to trade divine wealth, and she was increasing by pouring out. By pouring out, it was increasing until there was no more room. So, you need wealth to increase wealth. And you have to look at what God has given to you. So, we are looking at what we have already said before, profit, gain, and economic theories. What are we seeing? We are exposing some things. Remember, through wisdom and understanding. So we are trying to see some understanding that should be in place for riches to be gained. And really, you must understand this thing for riches to be gained. If you follow the series already, some of your traditional mentality and what you hold on to, you just be liberated from it. Somebody said to us yesterday night, say, now I know what to do. Whatever that meant, but the person said, now I know what to do. Say, for me, I know what to do now. Whatever it meant, but there has been some liberation have occurred. It has occurred already. Some liberation has occurred. Alright, so let's begin from profit because it's more like a threefold cord. What is profit? Profit is so important because let's define it. We define profit here as increase on exchange. Increase on exchange. That is what we have defined profit here. And that definition is sufficient for us to navigate and to go around every corridor and every nook within this doctrine that we would like to explore. Increase on exchange. Well, even though we can look at profit from two directions, but the other does not serve a reasonable purpose in what we intend to see, because profit can also be seen as utility, in the sense that you paid for a plate of food and then you ate it and you enjoyed it and it nourished your body. That's a profit. But that kind of profit is referred to as is satisfaction. I refer to it as satisfaction, but it's in a more technical label. It's called utility in economics. So, but in that kind of satisfaction does not have a numerical value. We can only subjectively label it. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied are you? You say, well, 8. But somebody can still come and have the same meal and rate it to be 3. Why? Maybe from where they are coming from, that doesn't even serve as a standard of what a meal should look like. So, but each of them, we find satisfaction and we rate, one we rate 9 over 10, the other will rate 1 over 10, because depending on being, because of their difference as individuals. So in that terms of utility, profit in terms of utility or satisfaction, we cannot, it's not what we are talking about here, because our objective and goal of discussion will be fenced out if we look at it in that light, because it doesn't in any way relate to how riches can be increased. You may have energy to go and stand and sell again, but that's not the objective we are looking at tonight. It will cut the corridor out. So we are technically and basically looking at profit as increase on exchange, and that is what occurs when you trade. The concept of profit is very, very important. It's very, very important because it is the single most important theme, concept or factor in the world of economic activity, profit. Profit. As a matter of fact, every big organization over there, all your companies and everything, that word is the under guard of what they do. They are motivated by that. Either they are calling it profit, they are calling it revenue, or whatever they call it. It's still the same idea. What is gained by exchanged? What is gained by exchange? It's not what you get back. I mean, you put in 1,000, you get back 1,000, there was no profit. If you get in 1,005, then the 5 on it becomes the profit on it. And you can already see that it is the single most important thing in the business universe, profit. Big giant companies, tech companies, they are motivated by that singular phrase. And if you are going to make riches and increase riches, you must also be driven and acknowledge that singular phrase and the power of it, increase or profit. The most technical label is profit or revenue, but scripture we call it increase. It is so important. That's why your businesses are out there. Take a look, take a mental log of all the companies you know, the organizations you know, the financial institutions you know. They are all out there for this single factor. It's so important. It's so important, the word profit. Let me say, that word that is profit and we'll be calling increase interchangeably is what is the foothold. Every other thing directs to that increase. Let me tell you, in terms of business administration and studies, they talk about customer satisfaction and providing quality customer service. All those are propaganda to fall back to increase. Any customer satisfaction that is not giving increase, they will over a long run, they'll take it down. And really, really, they'll be taking it down. Some of you know companies and organizations who had some practices, like they made some offer available to their customers, and customers really enjoyed it, but after a while they took it out. The objective is not customer utility. It's just a masquerade or a mask for increase. And you can already see, let me tell you, everything a business investing falls back to this. You can already see big businesses investing in customer, in quality of customer service, in human resource development, so that they can have, they are training their workers to deliver expert service so that their customer base will triple at the same time, so that in the long run there can be increased. All this masking is towards increase. Don't ever get this. Sometimes I walk into some place, a customer care, welcome sir, hello. I say, forget about it. We won't fall for that. I say, we are very sorry. Oh, no. Say, look at these people. Finish with me. Let me leave this place. Don't be exceptionally nice. You are programmed to be like this. You have a supervisor that is watching how you interact with me here. You know? So let's leave all these faces. Let's forget about them. Attend to me. Let me leave this place. All of this is to retain customers. That's why it's called the customer retention factors. They are giving you quality customer service so a customer can be at home. It's a lie. All of them is increase. You know, you get an email from your bank, we put you first. Just know that this weekend is you don't have to go out here to go and get anything done. You can use your app to make payments. Oh, please just leave my email box. It's your target. You want to charge me for using your service so that you can increase your wealth. Everything is channeled in, that is the governing world in the business universe. Revenue increase. Anything that is not bringing increase, they take it down, to be taken down at the long run. Every campaign, every agenda they are putting is all directed. Don't misunderstand that there are non-profit organizations who are out there for the betterment of mankind. But even there are people within that non-profit organization that are there for increase. As they are benefiting mankind, they hope to increase some way. They hope to increase in some way. But in the grand scheme, in the scheme of things, within genuine economic activity, the word is profit. Profit. So everything else is a facet. The excellence is so that you can attract a cadre of customers and your customer satisfaction can be increased and the all can be increased. That is the major theme in the business universe. Profit, so important. Father, we give you praise. So that word is increase. That is the objective of every trade. If you trade on a parallel level, and what I mean by a parallel level or at a horizontal level, the graph doesn't extend. That means it's flat rate. What economics will call a break even. You are not fulfilling the purpose. And it's so funny that I meet some persons who are in business and I ask them break even. They don't know what a break even is. You say, that's the basic thing you need to know. Let me tell you, and that is why you are here. People are in business, they don't know business terms and they don't know business laws. You say, I make this, I sell it, I calculate, I make it, I sell it. They don't know how to manipulate the market. Those are things, techniques that should be at your disposal. So this word increase is the single most important factor in the business universe. That is why, that is the area all companies are driven. Glory to God. So you as a child of God, you must be driven by increase, not greed. Especially if you are in the business world, as a businesswoman, you sell your service, you trade in terms of service, or you trade in terms of commodity and items. You must pay attention to that word, and you must approach, as they say in terms of calculus, that as this it is going towards, you must be orientedly directed to. You don't make profit part of the agenda, it is the goal. Some person say, I'm trading, let's see if I will profit. It's not a let's see matter. If you are not sure if you profit, get out of it. You shouldn't be trading in the first place, because whatever trading does not make you increase, it makes you decrease. If you don't increase on trade, you decrease on it. If you don't increase in trade, you decrease by it. And there are people who have lost millions of money because they didn't give attention to that word increase. And when you give, and because they didn't give attention to increase, they couldn't organize all that there are resources in that direction to accomplish it. The big businesses, all your banking institutions, they take it as everything goes back to there's money to be made. And so all of their campaign, their organization, their strategy, their implementation is instituted and goal-orientedly directed towards that phrase, that word, increase, increase. If it's not increasing them, they take it down. If it's not increasing them, they take it down. If it's bringing in more loss, they take it down. There is behavior in the marketplace. And that's why I don't know if there's a field like that, but that's why there's such a thing that should be, if it's not, as market psychology. Is to analyze. I don't know if they feel like that, maybe there should be, but what I'm talking about, what I'm about to talk about now is crafting out a field like that already. And it does exist, because when you talk about economic behavior, it talks about patterns that are recognizable, and in terms of that, you already start drifting to principles of psychology, but not in just human behavior alone, but human behavior as it relates to economic concept, economic factors, economic variables. So we have economic psychology, the psychology of the market, how the market behaves, the instability. You know, most persons don't give attention to that. All of those things are taken into place to increase. The big companies know how to invest. They know how to. When there is a surge of expenses, when money is increasing cash flow, that's why I see during the Ember Rush period, a lot of activities and promos come into line. They opt in into the bandwagon, because the bandwagon comes a lot of goodies, and everybody is opting in, and some are gaining, some are losing. You must be oriented. That's why God said, you have great wisdom in trade, you have increased riches. Every idea this guy was having was on to increase. And so that's why at the end of the day, he got into his head and he said, I'm a God, because of the abundance. If you were around yesterday, you could already see why this guy was balanced. There was nothing he would go to buy again. He had everything. Do you understand? Most children of God don't have the idea of profit. You are in the market, you don't have the consciousness of increase. They have no wiring to increase. They have no configuration, no animation for increase. They are just saying, let me do this, let me do that. Let me tell you, what is not defined, you will not be configured or animated to pursue it. Whatever is not made to be an objective, there will be no defined pursuit in that direction. When you know where you are going to, you plot out how to go to the place. I take a taxi to this place. I get into the bus. The fare is this way. I stop here. I stop there. But you just go into, why are you going into business? I want to be busy. Be cleaning your house then. You'll be busy. You'll be busy. Just keep cleaning your house. I want to bless people's life. Yes, it's important. You can be blessing their life, but you can also be blessing their lives, service to humanity. But if certain laws are not in place, you won't be able to continue. You can't continue blessing them. That's why I see some companies will tell you, it is help us to help you. It is objective to serve you, to give you the best service. But please cooperate in us in doing so that we can continue in the good work we are doing. Do you understand? So profit is a very key word that we should give conscious heed and attention to. All right. So while I've spoken the direction, but let me just in clear terms just speak about some key things about profit. Why is profit necessary, or why is it important to remain in business? You need profit to remain in business. You can't continue in any business if you are not profiting or you are not increasing. No matter how necessary that business is or how important it is, because when there is no profit, there won't be progress. You will drain, you will come down again. Listen, if you like what you are doing, the only way you will like what you are, the only way to show that you like what you are doing is to ensure that what you are doing continues. And for what you are doing to continue, increase has to be there. It has to be there. It has to be there. Where there is somebody is not profiting, somebody is losing. You can't have it both. They are mutually exclusive. Even you say, okay, I'm not losing, I'm just neither gaining nor losing. You are still losing because that was not the objective. And it's only a long run before you lose everything. Say, okay, I'm just at the break-even stage. It's still a loss. In short, if you want to tilt your business in excellence, count a break-even as a loss. And for your info, in case you have, you don't know, a break-even is that state where both your cost is to your profit. That is, you put in 1,000 naira and then you invested 1,000 and then you have gotten 1,000. You are neither lost, you have neither gained. That's what is called a break-even. But a break, if you count every break even as a loss, it will teach you how to adjust. 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 Father, we give you praise. Makas Kupala Dagadias. It will teach you how to adjust. So profit is important, necessary for you to remain in business. So if you like what you are doing, then you need increase to remain in it. So I'm helping humanity. I want to help humanity. Then pay attention to your business life. Or pay attention to what you are doing. Increase is necessary to remain. If you are not profiting, you are losing. And where you are not profiting, you can't continue it. Unless you are doing charity. But if you are doing charity, where you are getting money from that place has to still keep flowing. Now, we are teaching in pure economic terms. Like I said, we'll come to a place where I will teach you about the law of favor and how that favor, let me say this now, where how that favor, there's no room, there's no provision for the favor in the equation of the market. You don't see a company say 2020 a year and then, how do we address this, sir? The strategist is speaking, and then they are asking the strategist or the business developer in the company and say, well, this is where favor comes. The board members and all the investors will say, you think that's why we are here? But it's true, it's genuine, and we'll give room to that, which is why is the advantage you will have. Glory to God. So it's needed for you to remain in business. No business will continue if there's no profit. Why is profit necessary? It's necessary to grow, for your business to grow. Now we talked about remaining. Now we are talking about growing. You can't grow if you are not increasing. You started in one small compartment, or you started in a kiosk selling something in this. If your business does not grow, you can't move from there to own a store. And you can't move from there to own a chain of store and have a workforce. So it is increase that grows your business. And even if you're able to get a grant and or an impute from an investor, if you still don't increase that business from that direction and you are not increasing for growth, whatever impute or investment that was made to your business, cannot, your business will not be able to justify it. And that's what we refer to as investment justification. To prove that this investment is accountable for by reason of evidence of works and exploit that you are doing. So why is profit necessary? For growth. Your business is supposed to take care of itself, is to carry its weight. Because your business itself is an entity of its own. So profit is necessary if you desire growth. So if you have started a business, you are not profit oriented, you will not grow. You just be putting money to be living through the other place. Increase is necessary for growth. And there's something I wrote here that I think you should take note of. I said that where there is profit and there is no corresponding growth, then there exists evidence of mismanagement, short-sightedness, or leadership incompetence. That is, you are making so much profit yet your business is not growing, because growth is directly proportional, as we say in mathematics, to increase. You grow as increase is going. Initially, we couldn't get a supply vehicle of our own, so we had to just use some tricycle. But now we've gotten a truck we can use. Now we have gotten two trucks. Now we have three trucks. We have three drivers. Now we have people, somebody in charge of supply is overseeing everything, and we can now get an accountant. But so much profit is coming in, but it's still the chaos. It's either the fund is being mismanaged, the administrator or the head is short-sighted, has no future plan for the business, or it's just an incompetent leadership. Don't know how to get on or get out from where they are present. That is so important. And then we said profit is necessary for impact. Listen, where there is profit and there is no corresponding increase, again, it is the evidence that there is mismanagement, short-sightedness, or there is leadership incompetence. Your profit is necessary for impact. Your business will thrive on its proceeding. It will thrive on it. So you want to have a foundation, you want to have this in your name of what you do. It's tied to your increase. Business exploit is a product of business success. Your business will thrive on its inflow. It should thrive on its inflow. Your business should be able to sustain itself. Not you putting. There's a place where you put, but it should come to a point where it can carry itself. You know about the Lister generator, where you have a winder and then you use your hand to wind it. You don't continue. There's a time where you wind it until it picks off. Your business, in the beginning, you were using your own effort, your money, you were turning it, you were putting it the same way you turn on that Lister generator. After a while, it takes off by itself and then it continues. But you see, when it takes off by itself, it takes off at a speed that even your effort can't move at that revolution. That's, it's supposed to come to a point where your business becomes, you can't even sponsor the exploits it's doing, because your business is even now building chains of stores. And then you are just a manager and admin. Profit is central to impact. Increase, we mean by that. If you want to make impact in your business, increase your earnings. If you want to make impact in what you do, increase your value. And that's what is called valuation. Your value is tied to your increase. You know, they look at a company like Google and they say Google is worth several billions of dollars. When they started in a small shed, They were not worth even $1 million. But you see, they have increased their value through increase, through growth. Your profit is central to impact. If you want to make impact, increase your earnings. Even as an individual, there are things you want to do, you don't have the financial means to do it. You want to settle people's school fees. Look at me, why are you here? I'm working here. Are you finished secondary school? Yes, I have. All right. So why are you not present? I can't afford the university education. You know what? When the next, you are raising the next exam, get on with it. If you want to get on the exam, let me know. Pam, pam, pam. You paid for it. Say, when you get that admission, let me know. Now, there are people that you see, somebody who has ought to be in school. You can't do nothing now. Your heart cuts. You know why? Your earning is not yet sufficient to support your intended exploit. So you need to increase. You need to increase. You need to increase. That's why you are here tonight. The profit is necessary for business expansion. Somebody say, well, is it growth? Not, no. Growth means you are developing and progressing in a direction. Expansion means you are taking up more space. You are covering more ground. It's just like we have some of these our network providers now that have broken 14-2 fintechs. They now have what is referred to as PSBs, payment service banks. You have this now, it has broken 48. You have this product is now doing this. It's expanding. It's expanding. They had a branch here in Metama. They have moved over to Asokoro. They are taking up more space. Growth talks about your progress in one direction. Expansion talks about the ground you are covering. You are taking up space. You know, when you sit in a seat like in the typical primary schools in those days, and you have to share in a long bench that has a desk form, when you sit with somebody who is chubby, he takes up the space. That's expansion. He has covered more ground. You want your business to take ground, you need to pay attention to increase. You can only expand when you have increased. You look at somebody, you started a ministry, then you went and built 10,000 we are starting today. Your voice will be echoing for many years. Not like you just came and then you built 10,000, 100,000. You will echo for many years until you reach that level. Expansion is commensurate with your increase. That's why you need to start small so that you grow big. Like I always say to my closest people, I say every giant was first born a baby. You don't give birth to a giant as a giant. You give birth to them as babies. Then the seed in them begins to take fruit. Hallelujah. And then what's the next one? Profit is good for you. It is good for you. You as a person is good for you. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your well-being, your general well-being. Making increase is good for you. It will reduce every other thing, high blood pressure. Success is good. Success is good. When you increase, it's good for you. You have the sense of satisfaction. You want to put in more effort. It gives you more drive to learn, more drive to advance, to make steps in the direction of your calling and expertise. You make more room. You take directions. Nobody likes to continue what they are failing and failing and failing, unless the people who continue can continue and continue are different kind of individuals who are motivated by other kinds of understanding, persistence. You know their names in history, who tried and tried and tried, and then they got it. But they didn't see those things as failure. They saw it as opportunity to relearn and do things better. But increase is good for you. It gives you a sense of wellness in terms of what you are doing. And it takes you, if it helps you to go more, it motivates you to take a step. You tried selling, you tried investing in iron ore, it worked. You develop more and say, how can I advance? How can I go further? It leads to your
self-development. You want to develop yourself more. See, that means there can be more. We can increase. I can still increase further than this. It's good for you. So the single most important word in the business universe, in the world of trade, is increase. If you are not increasing, there's no reason. You won't be there for long. Trust me. You will not be there for long. You will not be there for long. Having said all these things to us, now I'm bringing us to a new concept that some of us may have never heard before. But we were just doing stuff and then it just landed. Pew. Said, well, we should do this. I'm thinking of bringing us now to the concept of the game. We just have a few minutes left, so I will introduce the concept. Then next weekend, we take up from there. Now, listen. Profit is very complex, very sophisticated. Because since it's the objective of trade, it's not that easy to obtain. Which is why you see companies rise and crash. Organizations start and they finish. You know organizations that started, they lasted for a while and then they crashed. You know companies are folded. They couldn't sustain, they failed on every count as we have listed. They couldn't sustain it themselves. They couldn't expand, they couldn't grow. And when you can't sustain yourself, you begin to cut down on your workforce. They couldn't even pay their employees anymore. The business was collapsing under its own weight because its leg was no longer strong. So profit is complex. It's a sophisticated concept. Everybody in the world of trade is striving for that thing. So because of that, whatever is highly pursued after, you know, it's rare. Like they said, when demand increase, supply will reduce. When there's demand for increase, the market of increase, the supply will drop. So increase is in short supply. It's those who are skilled in the market that will get it and get it very well. That will get it and get it well. It's very sophisticated. It has a lot of hinges, variables, components that pull it here and there, which is why the economics and economy and commerce is a very sophisticated and a large scope, because it's not like physics and objects in chemistry that we can define their properties. The properties of light were discovered by people like John Maxwell, Heisenberg, and all the physicists that worked on the properties of light. Till then, we only go back to write out, and it follows a fixed equation. But when we have human psychology involved in an enterprise, then you know the variables have increased. And anybody that works with programming knows that when there are too many variables, it gives you a problem of arriving at accuracy. It makes the overall system complex, because it's not stable anymore, because variables have been included. That's why if you are dealing with humans on a large scale, you can't, you know, if you drop your bucket, yes, you remain there, but you don't know about your child. Which is why when you are a mother, when you leave your child in the sitting room, you come back, you come and check him, you go back to the kitchen, you return to check him, you go back. But if you don't do that with your handset, if it's on your mattress and it's there in the bedroom, nobody's there, you don't care about it. You come to look for it there. So increase in trade is hinged on human psychology too, or what we call the market behavior, the trend. So because of that, too many constraints are gripping it from both sides. It becomes a complex matter. So if I tell you this is how, if I tell you now this is how to profit, to increase in business, there will only be ideal principles. There will never be true to their innate detail, because again, you don't know what you are dealing with. Father will give you peace. So which is why we come to this concept of the game or game. This game is trying to talk about increase. Now, this is just one of the most excellent way to convey it to you, so that you can see all the variables increased. So, let's introduce you to the concept of game, or the idea, so that you can round up tonight. Some person say a game is what you play in your phone. You sit down in your PlayStation. Nope. No, sir. That does not define it. You may know a video game. Excellent. I play, what do you call it now? This one on this console, on Xbox, on PlayStation, on Nintendo, on the ancient Sega. Your Game Boy Advance. Nope. That's not what it is. Not all of it. A game refers to a set of events that meet certain qualities, or that can be described with certain laws. That's why game is not just a statement of leisure. Take for instance, when we see celebrations, we know when people are celebrating. How do you know a celebration is going on? There's always excitement. Then there's music. There's food. There's chattering. If you pass around where they are celebrating, you will know. You will see people gathered. You see sound. You see food going left, right, and drinks. You see people excited, running around. Now, you may not know if it's a birthday celebration, a wedding celebration, an anniversary celebration, an opening celebration, or just a get-together. But you will know some celebration is going on. Why? It has met a condition that categorizes it into a kind of event. Also, as you would refer to a celebration, a party, a game is a category of event. It's a category. Please get it now. This is the foundation. You must learn the concept from now. So that, get it now. Liberation, your mind, deliverance is coming from an ordinary understanding. A game refers to an event that meets certain conditions. Which is why you see, there may be video game, which is your console and all that. Then there are your board games, like your chess and your Ludo. Then there are game shows, where people gather on the stage and play a game. And then there are game in terms of sporting, your football game, your basketball game, your lawn tennis game. But why are they all called games? One is happening on a board, the other one is happening in video, on a computer, on a HD television, on a screen. The other one is happening in front of a live audience. In short, there is no board, there is no television, it's just individual and abstract concepts. Why are they all mumbled up together and called a game? It's because they meet a set of laws, which is why I will define to you now. What can we classify as a game? I have written here that a game is any given or set of event governed by fixed laws or a set of laws and characteristics with a set objective and a limited set of outcome. Now listen. Kota Malakasia. It's very interesting. That's what a game is. It's an event. It's governed by a law. It has fixed objective and the outcomes are limited. Get it, please. There's an unwinding going on in your mind now. Now, everything you call a game falls into this category. When you play your video game, you are in another world there. Either you are playing Pac-Man or you are playing Tetris. You can't do whatever you like. You are bound by a law. There is the objective of the game, and the outcome is limited. It's either those ghosts in Pac-Man get you or they don't get you. If they don't get you, you proceed to the next stage. The same way with your Ludo game. You can't move anyhow. You are governed by the probability outcome of your die throw. And the objective is separate, is different. Get into that compartment where the induced pieces eventually enter. The outcome is limited. The same thing with a football game. It is governed by a law with an objective. The outcome is either you lose, you win, or you draw. And sometimes the outcome is two. It's either you win or you lose. Like if they are playing a knockout stage. The same way with every game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It follows a set of laws. Live TV game show, all of those things. There's a limited number of outcomes. There's an objective. Whatever falls into this category is a game. Interestingly, game is actually a branch of applied mathematics. It's a branch of statistics and economics, and it's a branch of computer science. The first concept of game introduction into the world of academia was conceived by one of the most brilliant human beings to ever walk the earth. Some persons don't know his name, John von Neumann. He was the one, if you look at his accolades, he wrote so much and invented so much in mathematics. I mean, if you look at his portfolio, he's a mathematician, he's an applied mathematician, he's a physicist, he's a computer scientist, he's an engineer. He's just, and with invention, he worked on the Manhattan Project that developed the bomb in World War II. His inventions in computer science speaks. He had so much gift, intellectual ability, that he memorized whole books and read them with his mouth. I mean, leading scholars of the day tutored him. A leading mathematician who is also a renowned mathematician, when he came to be his private tutor, because he was ahead of his peers, so they arranged for him to learn advanced things at home. The man was brought to tears when he saw what the little boy was. At the age of 6, he was speaking ancient Greek. This is somebody that died just the past century. He was solving advanced calculus before 10. And writing, contributing to mathematical journals. He was the one who propounded the idea of the game. Not what I'm talking about, but that concept of games. And it became a concept in mathematics and statistics that the whole of statistics relies. You see all of this definition, you can see how it's akin to what the destiny of statistics and applied mathematics. But you see, this concept is what is the living soul of intelligence in computer science. The first advances in, I hope I've not left some people ahead and gone. Just follow me. Maybe I should stop so that I want you to see what I'm talking about. The first advances in machine intelligence. What I mean by machine intelligence is AI, artificial intelligence. Please, you should know those things. You belong to this generation. You should know what they are. They use theories and computer programs to write a code that can play checkers. It wasn't run on a PC. It was written on paper. What I'm trying to say, maybe let's leave that off. Maybe some persons may not. What I'm saying is, the concept of game is not a function of pleasure. It is interwoven in in real life. I showed you the kind of person who began to think in this direction too. Not like he was joking around. They referred to him as the last representative of the generation of mathematicians that were at home, both in pure and applied math. His kind does not reason again. That's what you are trying to say. You can read about him if you want. John von Neumann. So when I say, don't see it's a pleasure. No, it describes an event. That's what I'm trying to show you. The same way you see a celebration, you identify it. There are events that are described to it as game. And it has its foothold in mathematics, statistics, and economics. You know, economics is statistics. It's just it's applied statistics. Economics is where they apply statistics in real life. That's why every economist must be awash with statistics and mathematics, because statistics actually is applied mathematics. It's mathematics that is speaking the language of men that they understand, at least. Somebody say, what? Please just come on. It describes a kind of event. Listen. The concept of game is used by business companies. And that is why it involves to be what's referred to as game theories. It's a branch of economics, mathematics, and applied statistics. If you go to business school, I don't know if they taught it in university economics, or people who study economics, or people who study accounting. I have somebody who studied accounting from the university here. I don't know if they taught you. But surely in business development, you must pass through game theories. Not because business is, it's a game actually. I think it's our common understanding of what a game is that is faulty. Because it needs a set of conditions and a series of laws describes or regulates the event. In the World War, they were using game theories for diplomatic activity. It gave birth to what is referred to as a concept of mutually assured destruction. That is, they were using it to resolve conflicts, because a conflict also is a game. Not game playing X and R2 or whatever they call the buttons again. It fits a set of conditions. What we are pointing to is that the concept of the market is a game. Not video running around with sword in your hand and things are jumping all over. It needs a description. And really, I've shown you mathematics, statistics, computer science has room for these concepts. They are the concept applied. You talk about machine learning, it's applied game theory. You use statistics to make decisions because you have too many variables. You can already see that the activity of machine learning is falling in line with an event that has laws, that has an objective, that is, this outcome is limited. We could teach you machine learning now from games, because really, all this AI, you see cars driving themselves, is mathematics that they are working. Because even you use the theories of game. You want to cross a highway. A car comes this way. You make a quick decision. There's a way it can be modeled in mathematics as to the best course of decision to take. It takes a statistical approach. If you model it in computer science, it becomes an intelligent system. That is, your cars driving themselves are always plotting graph and solving mass. They solve mass as they move along. You are not even conscious of that you are calculating. Why do you see a young child, a car is coming. Instead of him to wait, he rushes more. The car is coming, he doesn't inform himself that I can outrun the vehicle. You say, car is a child, he doesn't think, his thought is still. That's his thinking. He falls to thinking. What goes on in the market is game. Why? The outcomes. The law is fixed. The objective is singular. The outcome is limited. You either lose or you win. You need to know this concept
for you to make it headway.
It's not so that you must at least have some arithmetic handling. How do you know you are increasing? How do you know you are decreasing? Some people celebrating, I'm increasing. Sir, you are increasing on a straight line graph. You are not increasing again. You earn 10% for 2 years, you are not increasing. Because if you plot your graph, it's a straight line. It's not increasing again. You reached a level and plateaued. You have stopped increasing.
God will give us grace forever. Go ahead and give him praise. I think let's stop here for tonight. We'll continue next week. Father, we give you praise. Talabosh kalabaranamash katarivosh lebamboro tomosomotamalabash. Go ahead, thank you. Give him praise.